Good morning, Calvary. How many of y'all are glad to be here?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad to be here. Take your Bible this morning. Turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you will, just for a few minutes. I'll be probably in about 100 different places this morning, but I really want to help somebody this morning. If I know my heart, the Lord's put this there for a reason. And even as I made a statement Wednesday night and opening up, some of you probably weren't here, but I said, I don't know why God put this on my heart, but... Well, at the end of the service, I found out why, and there was people here that needed to help, and I trust that God's going to help somebody today. We do have a host of people in the prayer list that just need a touch. Brother J.D. Church is in the hospital at Baptist. He's in the acute care down there, so you pray for Brother J.D. Kenny's still over at Forsyth. Pray for him. And then Brother Tim is down at Elkins, so you pray for him as well. Hopefully and prayerfully, Tim will be coming home soon. I'm looking for Kenny to get out sometime, maybe in the next week or so. I don't know, but he's been down there 3 weeks tomorrow, so that's the reason we're doing a special love offering today at the end of the service for Brother Kenny and Miss Shirley to help them offset some of those tremendous medical expenses that creep up on you following a long hospital stay. One little item of church business I'll take care of. We are blessed to have Miss Kaylee Badgett in our presence today. So I'll read her letter. It says, from the Mountain Valley Baptist Church in North Wilkesboro to Calvary Baptist Church, this is to certify that Miss Kaylee Anderson Badgett is a member of the church in regular standing and in compliance with your request for letter to grant this letter dated by order of the church and this signed by the church clerk. Kaylee, welcome aboard. I know you married in, but I'd like to think that you're here because God wants you here. But you and Cole are a blessing. Good to have Nathan and Haley back with us, the newlyweds. And we got more newlyweds around here. We can shake a stick yet. We got some more that's going to be newlyweds around here somewhere. They're back here. One of them is. Jesse's working today, and I guess Chelsea's here. But anyway, getting married just a couple short weeks, so you pray for this young couple. I would invite you to stand and give reverence to reading of God's Word today. Let me tell you, God wants to help you, I promise you. He's never wanted to hurt anybody. You show me one place in the Scripture where Jesus went by and hurt anybody. It's not in there. Now, don't be confused. God's not mocked. If he removes that hedge of protection around you, it won't be Jesus that hurts you. It'll be Satan that comes and he'll wear you out. In the Scriptures today, Paul, we'll go back and I'll have to go back to Acts just a minute, but we'll go back to Acts 17 in just a second. I'll have you sit down before I read that because it's kind of a lengthy passage in the book of Acts. But Paul had been to Thessalonica, and while he was there, according to the Scriptures, he just turned the world upside down. He was a preaching machine. He comes in preaching this new thing called grace. And God had used him to be a light to the Gentile people. And if you don't know what a Gentile is, it's not a Jew. So he's preaching to us that are of the Gentiles. And Paul's telling them it's all about faith. And faith, grace through faith in Jesus Christ, plus or minus nothing. And this newfound faith got back into the ears of the Orthodox of the Jews. And they got it all the way back to Rome and all the way back to Caesar that, hey, there's a man down here claiming that there's another king besides you. And because of that, it created quite an uproar. And the upheaval was nothing more than there ain't going to be but one king at a time in that land and in that region. But nevertheless, there is only one king, and that is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you feel like that there is a Savior or there is a Redeemer or there is a King above you or a Lord over you, then you would be right. And if you think, nobody's over me, ain't nobody above me, then you're in a good place to fall. Because let any man that stands take heed lest he fall. I'll read just about four verses of Scripture here, three or four verses of Scripture, and then we'll be seated. And then, like I said, there's a lot that I want to bring in a historical or in a perspective that you'll understand where the message is at. But then I just want to preach to you or preach to us today. I've already preached to myself all last night, and I'm telling you, the message helped me, and I hope that it'll help you. Second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. If you found your place, say amen. Amen. Look down to the 17th verse. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Brother John, good to have you back, my friend. I'll ask you to bless our scripture reading. I believe it's important even who prays. Did you hear Brother John's prayer? He used a word and he used it twice. He asked that nothing would hinder and that God would remove all hindrances. That's the message today in a nutshell, Brother John. You prayed that just now. You say, well, the only reason he said that was because it was in the scripture where Satan hath hindered us. I don't think so. I think that John would probably always be prayerful that all hindrances would be removed. Anybody know what a hindrance is? What's that? What did you say?
A bother.
What is a hindrance? A hindrance is being slowed down or held back from forward movement or motion. To stifle. It's interference. It's an impediment. Somebody breaks down in the traffic. It hinders the flow of traffic. It impedes the flow. It stops the forward progress. Do you realize that Satan is present in every single church service that we come in? Satan's here. You say, well, hey, you know he's here. Ain't God bigger than that? God is bigger than that. Because if God wasn't bigger than Satan, none of us would ever get saved. Because Satan would keep us so cumbered about, so bound down, so broken and burdened, and all the things that I will preach today, Satan would use that against us, and nobody would ever get saved. But Satan, he's present. The sons of God come before God. And Satan came also. You remember that in the book of Job? And Satan came also. Well, Satan comes every service, and he comes to hinder. He comes to throw up a roadblock. He comes to impede the moving and the working of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a person. We preached a message some time ago about the personage of the third part of the Godhead, being the Holy Spirit. He is a gentleman. He wants to be here. He's welcome here, but he is not a bully, and he will not bully himself into your life or into this church. So to hinder something would be to prevent the progress or to delay the action of. So when Paul said here in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, he said, I would have come to you, but Satan hindered me. So we're going to go back to the book of Acts just a minute and find out where the hindrance actually took place. I believe to keep it in perspective, I think it needs to be in context. And here in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, we'll find out in verse number 1 that when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. That is the church that Paul's writing this letter to. He's writing to the church, the first letter to the church of the Thessalonians. And that's when he said, I would have come to you. I wanted to come to you. He said, it wasn't for lack of want or desire. He said, I love you. He said, my heart's there, but I just can't be there in person. But this is the actual place that takes place where Paul was thus hindered from going back into the region of the Thessalonican church. And it says, they came to Thessalonica, where a synagogue of the Jews. It said, and Paul, as his manner was, went to them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So he's there for 3 weeks. And during that three-week period, he is preaching unto them out of the scriptures. It says in verse number 3, opening and edging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas and the devout Greeks, a great multitude of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, here they go, the Jews which believed not, they moved with envy and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all of the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and brought to bring them out to the people. Get a load of this now. Paul's there for 3 Sabbaths or 3 weeks. He's preaching out of the scriptures, and they're meeting in a man's house by the name of Jason. People are believing, people are getting saved right and left, but there's also those of the orthodoxy of the Jews that will not accept that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he fit the bill, that he was the one that was promised of old, regardless of the fact that Micah told that he would be born in Bethlehem, regardless of the scriptures that pertain to him being beaten and bruised for our iniquities out of Isaiah, and how the chastisement of the world would be upon him, how that he will be conceived of a virgin. All of those scriptures, every one of those scriptures that foretold his coming, the Orthodox Jews did not accept that would be him. And why was that? What was the reasoning? Well, they wanted an earthly authority. They wanted an earthly king. They wanted somebody of high state and high authority. And Brother John, that's not how Jesus presented himself. Even when he come from Bethany and from Bethphage down into Jerusalem, there on the Palm Sunday, as you will, he wasn't coming in a chariot of iron or a chariot of gold or brass. No, he was riding on a little colt that never a man had ridden. But there he comes in, just lowly and humble, in full humility before the world is how he presented himself. And that's part of the play on the whole society today, Brother John, is that he come to the very lowest that he might then reach them that are low. He come to the poor in spirit that they might be made rich through his grace. He come that way, and that was the purpose. But the purpose of him was shown through the Orthodox of the Jews, being beaten and being crowned of thorns. They crowned him with a crown, but not a crown, Miss Brenda, like a king would wear, but it was a crown of great big spikes. And this Paul preaching all this in this 17th chapter of the book of Acts, it has caught the attention of some of those that did not believe. And when it said there are certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, those are people that are following the fleshly carnal desires and following the wishes of Satan. So we read on just a little bit further. It said they assaulted the house of Jason, and when they, in verse number 6, when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren of the rulers of the city, crying that they have turned the world upside down, or come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, this one Jesus. They troubled the people of the rulers of the city. They heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let them go unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Listen at verse number 13 and 14. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. So we read that there was a decree, and you'd have to continue reading a little bit more, but for the sake of our service time today and for the sake of the message today, there was an order made that Paul wasn't to come back down there. So it would have been against the law for Paul to have gone back into the region of the Thessalonican church at that time. So now we're going back to our scripture in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and I will just read those few short verses again. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. I want to bring a message today about how Satan hinders God's children. I want to help you today. It seemed like every time that I stand up to preach, every time I get ready to preach, every time I try to get into that word, every time I find a prayer closet, it's almost without fail, Satan shows up. We were yesterday at the hospital, and we'd been there for probably, I don't know, an hour and a half or something, and while we were making our visit, and anybody could have come in during that time, but nobody came in during that time. We're just there making a visit. And just as soon as we grabbed hands, and the four or five of us around the bedside, guess what? In comes somebody with the medical devices needing to come in and check this and check that and prod this. It's almost without fail that when your pastor is in the middle of a prayer with somebody, my phone's going to start ringing. I've got it on vibrate. It's in my pocket. Nobody hears it but me, but that thing's vibrating in my pocket. What's that do, Brother Greg? I'm telling you what, it hinders me. It distracts me. You say, well, you'll just cut the thing off. I got a lot of people that I'm accountable to, First and foremost, I'm accountable to God, but I like to keep up with what's going on in every aspect of my life, especially when you got a daughter out of state. You don't ever know what's going on there. Something might be a tragedy. Something might have a problem with Cindy's daddy. My daddy's elderly. There's a lot of things going on. A lot of people could need me, so I leave my phone on. But it seems like, Brother Greg, every time I try to pray, the phone rings. Every time I try to start studying, something goes on. There's another need. There's another tug on my cape. There's another pull here, another pull there. And it seems like that I'm always hindered. It seemed like, Brother Gwynn, when you were preaching and pastoring for those years, didn't it seem like every time God would bless you up one side and down the other, but sometime you'd come in and it was like dropping your gospel plow in a field full of stumps and you just got hindered. You try to go and you got hindered. Try to do something, you got hindered. I know the men of God know what I'm talking about because it's just the way that it is. You try to preach, and Brother John, there's a hindrance there. You get up against the wall. You got an obstacle. There's something stopping the forward momentum. You just can't go. In this passage of Scripture, Paul said, I would have come to you. Matter of fact, I'd have loved to have come to you. I was with you in my heart. I endeavored to see you. I wanted to be there, but I could not come because Satan had hindered. So I just wrote down a few quick things this morning about how that Satan hinders us. Follow with me. I told you I had a lot of places to go. Just go to Luke chapter number 10 for just a minute. I'll be really quick on each of these points. I do have some points. Don't let that hinder you. Sometimes the preacher says, I got 6 points. You know what he just did? He hindered the service. Because now everybody, you're hung up on number one. You've heard, oh my goodness, he's already preached 12 minutes on this first point, and we got 5 more. We ain't going to get out of here before dark. Don't let that hinder you. I'll be really quickly. I didn't tell you how many points I do have, but nevertheless, I've got a few things that I want to show you that the Lord showed me. One of the greatest instruments of division, one of the greatest instruments of hindrance, one of the greatest instruments of distraction for me is that I am just too busy. I'm honest with you. Satan wants to keep us busy. The busier that he can make it for the pastor in running here and running there. Brother Chris made the mention a little while back about we were so busy praying for people that are sick and praying for people who are dying that we are so busy trying to keep them from their eternal reward that we lose sight of the fact that people are dying and going to a devil's hell, that we are so busy ministering to these folks that we lose the sight. There's a lost people that needing Jesus out there and we lose sight of that. You know what Satan does, Brother Greg? He makes us busier. I had you turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 10, and you probably already know the story very well. In chapter number 10 of that chapter, verses number 38 through 42, it's just a very quick, and I'll just give you a Cliff Notes version of it. I'll just summarize it. Jesus is coming. Hey, Jesus is coming. Are y'all hearing me? Jesus is coming. You got two sisters. You got Mary and Martha. And these two sisters, they know that Jesus is coming. So Jesus presents himself, and what happens? Mary just sits down at his feet. Boy, that's the sweet spot. Mary just sits down at his feet. But the Bible says that Martha was cumbered about with much serving. What happened, Brother John? She got very busy very quickly. Why? Because she knew that the Lord was coming. And we ought to be busy. We ought to occupy until he comes. But don't get so busy doing the things of this life that you start to lose sight of the greater cause. Souls are dying and going to hell, Brother Greg. And yet we're over here doing this and doing that. Satan wants us to be busy. Satan won't tell you not to visit your neighbors or visit the sick or visit the poor or visit the homeless or minister to the prisons. Satan won't tell you to do that. He'll tell you to do that more often. Visit your neighbor more often that you might be so busy working and making a living and cumbered about. That's what Satan wants. He wants to keep us busy. A couple hundred years ago, just probably about 100 years ago, it would have been hard to be as busy as we are right now. First off, you'd have to have a really good horse to be as busy as I am. I'm just talking for myself. You'd have to have a really stout horse to be as busy as I am, going from this hospital to that hospital, that hospital to that hospital, that hospital back to this hospital, and then back to here. And you'd be... And while I'm doing that, Brother Paul, I'm riding down the road and I'm sending a text to this one and I'm texting that one and I'm eating the sandwich that I just got to the drive-thru and that's what we're doing, Brother Paul. We are busy. We are so busy. I come in Tim's room last night. Tim said, you better get out of here and get that wife something to eat. I said, "Brother Tim, I've already eat." He said, "When did you have time to eat?" Because he knew I'd been down to Winston, right? I said, "I stopped at the drive-thru in Yadkinville, come through McDonald's and eat it driving up the road." He just kind of looked at it, shook his head. He knows. You say, "Are you complaining?" No, brother. You know what I'm telling you? We're busy. We're just too busy. You know what I'd love to have been doing, brother? I'd love to have been in my little study all night long and not running around doing this and doing that. You said, "Well, you need to get quiet, get where you're not so busy." What about you? Why are you so busy? "Well, I bought a new boat. And I got to work 3 jobs now to pay for that thing. That's got me so busy. I'm working till I can't even see any straight anymore." Why? Because when I get that boat paid off, I won't take it out on the lake. We know what you're going to do then. You're going to get busy because the fish are going to be biting. I'm not against boats. I got a kayak that I bought. Bought it, what, 2 years ago? I've used it twice. Once a year is pretty good. My niece, Carrie, even made me some stenciling to go on the side of that. Y'all know what it says. The name of my kayak is The Visitation. That's a true story, ain't it? I'll bring you a picture. You know why I call it that, Brother Gwen? I told Cindy, if I ever get to use that thing and somebody asks, "Where's that pastor at?" I said, "Just tell him I'm on a visitation." I got to work it. You got to do what you got to do. But Carrie made me stencil on both sides of my kayak. Varun seen it says visitation. But I don't put that kayak on the water on Wednesday night. I don't put that kayak on the water on Sunday morning. Matter of fact, I don't put it on the water any. I tried it and I will again someday. But anyway, Satan just keeps us busy. You can only travel so far by horse or train, so it would have been hard for them to get busy. They didn't have airplanes back then. It would be hard for them to get busy. How about this one? You can only gossip so much by telegraph. 100 years ago, it'd been hard to talk. You got to go down to the telegraph office and that Greg didn't show up for church today. It'd be hard to gossip about people. "Did you see what Sharon was wearing?" You can't get busy if you don't have the technology, and Satan has technology us to death, Brother John. We have got technology coming out of our ears today, and here it is. We use it to our advantage because I've got a search engine. I can pull my Bible up right on my phone, and I can search that out. But technology as a whole and everything that we got is just cumbered us back. We are so, so busy. Anybody here that's not busy? Anybody here today that's not busy, raise your hand. We're all busy. Brother Robbie, commend you. You're busy. Look at you chasing children all day long. Are you even hearing what I'm saying, Robbie? You didn't hear a word I said, did you? You know why? Because you're busy. Busy chasing kids. But Satan will keep us busy. Only multitaskers make it in this day. You have to be able to juggle. You have to be able to do 53,000 things. But what Satan wants to do is get us so busy that we forget about reading His Word. We forget about praying. We forget about studying. Miss Cindy gave me an acrostic one time about being busy, and it was simply being under Satan's yoke. B-U-S-Y. And I'm afraid we're there. You said, what else? Well, Paul was busy. He was here and he was there. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was let down over the wall in a basket. Paul was busy. But part of the reason was simply because Satan hindered him. Satan was still at that moment in time and still today trying to hinder the work of God, trying to stop the forward progress of this fledgling early church that Paul had established. But if we were to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4, Satan keeps us blinded. Did y'all hear me? Satan keeps us blinded. How does he do that? Well, he doesn't expose sin. Satan don't want you to see sin for what it is. He either hides it from us or he disguises it so it don't look so repulsive. It just kind of makes it not so bad by showing you something worse. He beautifies it so that you fall in love with it. But Satan blinds us and keeps us blinded. Folks, he'll show you the party, but he won't show the after effects of the party. You young people, he'll show you a good time. A good time of lasciviousness and of sin. But he won't show you the unplanned and unwed pregnancy. He'll show you the alcohol. He won't show you the giant headache and the after effects tomorrow morning of the hangover. He won't show you the carnage on the highway whenever the alcohol inebriation puts you into a tree somewhere. He won't show you that. He'll show you the good time with a bunch of friends, but he won't show you. Brother John, what he does, he blinds us to what sin is and the effects thereof. In 2 Corinthians in chapter number 4, in verse number 4, he said that the God, and take and make note. That's a little G. It's not talking about our God. It's not talking about God Jehovah. It's not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but the God of this world, that being Satan, it says, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for your servants, for Jesus' sake. He'll show you the euphoric effects of the hallucinogenic drugs. He'll show you all of that junk, but he won't show you the addiction that comes shortly thereafter with the pockmarked face and the teeth that have fell out. I'm telling you, meth is a terrible thing that's destroying people. Devil don't show you that. He shows you the hallucinogenic effects of the drug, but not the effects thereafter. Satan's blinded us. It's not too bad. There's far worse. If it's against God, it's wrong. Period. You say, well, how bad could something be? Let's take it down to the law, and thank God we're not under it. And I'm not trying to put anybody under the law again. Don't think that. But do you remember in the scriptures, Brother Varun, where the man was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day? What was he doing, Brother Gwen? He's just picking up sticks. That's what it said. What'd they do? What'd they do to that man? They stoned him. You said for picking up sticks, he was working on the Lord's day or on the Sabbath. Brother John, you want to go back under the law? I believe I'll pass. But Satan tries to show you that, well, Moses was a murderer, but that guy was picking up sticks. Moses become a type of a deliverer, but that man got stoned. Then God's not just. God is just. And I can show you that. Get with me after the service. I'll show you how just God is. I used this in a Sunday school lesson this morning, in our Sunday school class. You got two sons. Both of them have a chore to do. One of them goes obedience and does the chore. The other one refuses not to. And they come back. What's daddy going to do? Is he going to reward them both? No, one of them's got a judgment coming. Why? Because he refused to obey the daddy. God's just. He is just. But Satan keeps us blinded, my friends. He shows you all the fun, but never the heartache, never the heartbreak. Matthew chapter 11. And if you don't think the next one is so, I'm not going to go back and pull you out that verse of Scripture or that text of Scripture. But Satan keeps us burdened. Paul said that I was beaten. He said I was in perils of robbers. I was in perils of thieves. He said I was in perils of my own countrymen. He said I've had all of this stuff going on over and over and over. I've had these. He said I've been heavy burdened. And he said besides all of these things, what else did he say, Brother John? The cares of the churches. He said I got all that stuff on me. So Satan keeps us burdened. Matthew chapter number 11 in verse number 25 down through number 30 tells us about that burden, that we will get burdened, that we will get heavy laden, that we will have too much to bear. And I've heard it said, and I've even corrected that statement, that God won't give you more than you can bear. He absolutely will. He will burden you to the break point because he comes to those of a brokenness and a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That's where God does the work. Amen. But Satan wants to keep us burden down. He says here, verse number 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. He never wants us to have more on us than we can bear, but if he has to get more on us than we can bear to draw us back to his precious side, then it's ours to bear. But what happens in the meantime is Satan comes, and he wants to burden us down with more debt. He wants to burden us down with more work, more stress. He wants to burden us down with more sorrow, with more grief. He wants to burden us down with more tears and more loss and more grief. Everything, Satan just wants to keep heaping it upon you. But I've got good news for you today. We've got a great burden bearer. Bible says, casting all your cares upon him. For he careth for you. Out of the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. He loves us. He wants you to bring your burdens to him. See how fast these points go? John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. Verse number 34, John 8 and 34. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, but the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You said, praise the Lord, we're free. There's something about freedom. I like being free. Do you like being free, or would you rather be under bondage? No, we want to be under freedom. We want freedom. We want liberty. We want to be able. Y'all don't worry about that family. They've got a funeral to go to. Pray for that family. But don't let that become a hindrance. Don't let that distract you. They're not mad. They're not. They've got a. They had a death in the family. They're going to that to take care of that today. But listen, don't let that become a hindrance. But Satan will keep you bound. Brother Greg, he doesn't want you to live in the freedom. Brother John, he does not free us up and save us and give us liberty to continue in sin. He nails that down in the book of Romans. We said, God forbid, in Romans chapter number 6, verse number 1, we don't continue in sin that grace may abound. But what Satan wants to do, he wants to continue to be bound and bind you down that you can't worship freely, that you can't walk freely, because we should be walking by faith and not by sight. He wants to keep you bound down. He wants to keep you in this position of being just tied up, that you won't be able to walk, or you won't be able to work, you won't be able to witness, you won't be able to come here, Brother Greg, and shout the praise and worship God. Why? Because you're too bound down. That's just the way Satan does it. People that are bound often will lose sight of the vision. They will. Why? Because they're looking at their bindings. You said, I don't believe that. Oh yeah, they will. Oh, Samson was bound, was he not? He just got up like he always did. I'm going to shake this off. Sometimes you can. There might come a time, though, that you won't be able to shake it off. Then the liberty's gone. He didn't just lose his liberty. He lost his eyesight. But the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. And if he gets you so bound down that all you see is worry and all you see is your problems and all you see is your fretting and frustration, guess what? You don't see lost people. You're too busy in your own little world licking your own wounds. Why? Because you're bound down. Satan's kept you right where he wants you. He wants to keep you defeated. There's so much. I'll just give you a few real quickly. Psalms 51:17 said, the Lord comes to those of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Satan wants you to remain broken. Do you realize there are some broken vessels in here today? In this service today, there are broken vessels. I promise you. Luke chapter number 4 said, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Somebody here today is broken. Guess what? Because of that brokenness, Satan uses that to hinder you. God works in brokenness. He specializes in brokenness. He can take the cracked pot and get a glory out of it. The Bible said that when Mary came to anoint Jesus Christ, that she did what? She broke the vessel. Why didn't she just uncork it? Because she was giving it all. But in the giving of it all, the pot was cracked. Did God not get glory out of that cracked pot? Some of y'all here today look like a cracked pot. You look at me. I'm not looking. Why'd you look at Greg?
You were looking that way.
It's not good when I have two Gregs back to back, okay? But you're looking at a cracked pot. You're looking at a flawed vessel. You're looking at somebody that is marred. Brother John, I am marred in the hand of the potter. as Israel was marred in the hand of the potter in Jeremiah's writing in chapter 18. We are marred. We are scarred. We are broken vessels, Brother Brian, right in the midst of everything. We're broken. But does he just take us and discard us? Throw that lump away. Get us another lump of clay to work with. It's not what he does, Brother Dane. He makes us again as it seemed good to the potter to make. There's so much in this, I can't even get it all. When you're bound, you won't shout, you won't sing. When you're broken, you're only looking at your brokenness. Ezekiel chapter number 34, Brother Steve was all over this morning when he taught our Sunday school lesson. It was right in the middle, I guess, if everybody's using the quarterly, you probably would have all had that same verse, chapter number 34 in the book of Ezekiel, verse number 16. I love what Brother Steve did this morning. He said 18 times the word "I will" is in there. One of those is in that 16th verse, Brother Steve, and it says this: I will seek out that which was lost, bring again that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken. But you see, I'm going back here. All these things that I preached about, Satan keeps you blinded. Satan keeps you bound. Satan keeps you broken. Satan keeps you burdened. Satan does all of this stuff to try to hinder. And he does it very, very well. So you say, well, preacher, how in the world? You brought us into this. You've told us all the points on how Jesus or how Satan binds us. Paul said, I'd love to come to you, but I couldn't because Satan had hindered me. Well, what are you going to do, Brother John? Well, you're in a good place to get all that fixed. You're in a great place to get it all fixed. There were people Wednesday night that lined the wall-to-wall altar all across here. Why? Because they were trying to get some help. Miss Macy would come again today. It's how fast we quit. You all worried about points, and we're already done. I invite you to come to the one that specializes in broken. I invite you to come to specialize in the one, and to focus on the one that specializes in removing burdens. I just read the scripture. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. There's a rest for you. All you today that are here, that are any of these things that I just brought out where Satan has got you so cumbered about, so busy, so burdened, so broken. So I'm telling you, God is the one that can help you today. He will. Brother Gwen, would you not preach the same message 50 years ago that I'm preaching today? God still specializes in it. We sit here all stoic. We sit here like a wooden Indian on a totem pole. We sit here like Chief Sitting Bull thinking, I shall not be moved. My goodness, what's it going to take to move you from a point of destruction, from a point of total brokenness to a point of being able to be restored, to a point of getting forgiveness? Sin will bind you. Satan will bind you. Sin will break you. But see, Bro Jody, I'm preaching a message to all of us today. As we stand, Brother Scott's got us a song today. I just ask you, are you going to stay hindered? Are you going to stay broken? Are you going to stay bound? Are you going to stay in the condition you're in? Or would you not like to come and accept what God's got for you? As we sing, he's got us in number 44, come unto me, straight off the pages of God's word. I invite you to come today. You say, I just come Wednesday night, come again. Pray through. Pray to get your healing. Pray to get your answer, whatever it might be. If you're not saved, God will save you, my friend. I'm telling you, God specializes in what I'm preaching on today. I have been broken. I have been so burdened. I have been so busy. I have been so bound. And I have been everywhere that you are right now. But my God has delivered me from every bit of it, Brother Varun. Every bit of it. When I'm too busy, guess what? He'll say, why are you doing all that? I've got rest for you. Why are you so burdened down? Bring it to me. I'll help you. Why are you so blind to what Satan's doing to you, preacher? He said, you keep that blindness and next thing you know, somebody's going to die and go to hell. Because the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. That's scripture, my friends. It's not Mark's opinion. That's where Satan wants. He wants to keep us hindered. Bow your heads all over the church house today. These are praying across the front. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you even now, dear Lord, at the close of yet another service, asking you, dear Lord, to take this mixed multitude of people today, dear God. Help them, dear Lord. There's somebody here today that's blinded by Satan. Somebody here today is bound down, dear God. Would you set them free? Somebody here today, Lord, is just broken. Would you put them back together? God, somebody here today, dear God, just needs a touch from you. Would you help them, Lord, I pray? God, they've come to the right place. They've heard the right message, dear God. Lord, I'm nothing, dear Lord, in myself, but God, you've sent this message to help somebody today. Lord, and I pray that it'll find a lodging place in their heart. Lord, as we sing this song, Come Unto Me, Lord, let it be an invitational song, Lord, to somebody here today as it was to me on that third Thursday in April in 1981, God, whenever they were singing this song, dear Lord, the same song out of the same redback hymnal. God, you said, Mark, this is for you. Lord, it was that night as a 13-year-old boy, Lord, I come to you and receive the gift of grace, the gift of salvation. Lord, since then I've been broken. I've been bound. I've been blinded. I've been busy. Lord, I've been all the things I preached about. But through it all, Lord, I found you to be more strong. Lord, I found you to be more perfect. Lord, I found you to be more absolute. Lord, I found you to be true. Thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do in Christ's name. Amen.